Okay. All right. Titus, chapter 1. Yes. We got down to verse 5. And so we'll pick up there and go through our list here of the qualifications for a bishop, or elder, or pastor, or leader, or overseer. It's all synonymous. Let's read verse 5 before we get started. It says, "For this cause," this is Paul writing to Titus, "for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." And that's where we'll start off at. Let's have a word of prayer before we get started. Father, we thank you today for your word, for recording these things, for our learning, for our edification. We thank you for the members of the body who showed up today. Lord, we just thank you for the privilege and opportunity that we have week after week to meet and study as a body. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, who loved us, gave himself for us. Pray as we go forward that these things may not be just for knowledge, but that we might have a desire to apply those things to our lives that we might walk worthy and well-pleasing. We just thank you again for this time. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we covered a lot of things last week, and yet it was just trying to get a foundation to go forward. A lot of times you can say things, I do, say things and not, you don't want to take for granted that people know or they are on the same page as you are. But when you do get questions, then you realize, like, I miss some things, because you can't drag a person up to where you are. You got to go step by step. So, if I seem to be redundant or just go over and over again, that's how we learn, is by repetition. Mm-hmm. And when you overlay those things, sometimes down the line, it might be, wow, okay, I understand that a little better. So, if I repeat some things that I said last week or the week before, or even last month, you know, just chalk it up as reminder and strengthening your memory. So we find out when Paul writes to Titus, he leaves him at Crete to set in order the things that are lacking. And this is a local assembly. He's not sitting him in the midst of unbelievers. All the scriptures were written with the believers in mind. They're written for their edification. That is to build you up and to bring you to a point in your practice, in your knowledge and your practice, to bring you up to a point where God wants us to be. It wasn't any different then, and it's not any different now. Let me rephrase that. It wasn't any different then. That God's aim for the local assembly and the pastor or the bishop or the overseer, his aim then was to set in order the things that are lacking. And the same goal is today, is for the pastor or the overseer for that local assembly to set in order the things that are lacking. And you know what's lacking? You're going to find out what's lacking. This was last week too. You're going to find out what's lacking. Is the doctrine. It goes all the way back. It's the doctrine. And Paul said, this doctrine is according to what? Or he said, is after godliness. That is, it leads to, it promotes godliness. So you say, okay, then what's godliness? You see how you can, if somebody stopped you on the street and they said, Shan, I know you teach Bible class. What's godliness? And you can't be, you can't start. You got to know what it is, not what they say it is, what the scriptures say it is. And who better to learn what godliness is from a man who uses it more than any writer? That's our apostle. He says, "This is godliness."
And really, and this is where you are when you're familiar with the things that Paul writes. When he says these things, then you can give him a definition, and you're going to come up with this. It is your, I'll say, proper. Proper worship and service to God. You say, what's that? It is when you give God the glory that's due to Him, and you give Him the service that's due to Him. You know what? In Corinthians, he says this. He says, if God bought you, He bought us. Right? And he says, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. So you belong to me. And yet you have the will to do what? The free will to do what you want. You can volunteer. That's why he said, I'm beseeching you by the mercies of God that you give God a gift. He gave you a gift. You give Him a gift. What's that gift?
You.
He said, you present God with something that He already bought. That's crazy. You know, it's like re-gifting. You know, you somebody give you a gift for the holiday, and you're like, I don't really like that. It's like, somebody else could use this. But God says, I bought it, and He said, I can use it. If you give it back to me. But a lot of times we don't do the things that's according to the doctrine. We don't do the things that promote godliness, which means you don't do the things where you're worshiping Him properly, serving Him properly. You're worshiping and serving yourself or someone else. So Paul writes to Titus, he says, Go to Crete. I left you in Crete that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Wouldn't it be nice if every city was lined up with the doctrine? You wouldn't hear different. So one thing we do know is that the local assemblies today are not functioning properly. Is that all
right?
I would say I was thinking about this morning. We have the church has a condition. It's suffering from. They're suffering from elderitis. You know, there's something wrong with our elders. When I say the elders, the overseers, the teachers, the leaders of the local assemblies. You know something's wrong because. When Paul, it was something wrong here. He says, for this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. So you know that Crete was out of order, right? And it was lacking. And he says, appoint, and you, Titus, appoint elders, just like I appointed you. Right? So he's saying there's something missing there and it needs to be restored. So when you restore this man, which is a position, then what you're really doing is putting the doctrine back in place so they can get the people to functioning properly the way God wanted them to function, wants them. Are we doing that today? As a body. As a universal body, are we doing that? Are we functioning properly as local assemblies today? No. Nope. How do you know that? Why would you say that? Why would you agree with me?
They're not following Paul, and some of them have women preachers that are completely out of order, and so much that is out or is contrary to.
So much that's contrary to Paul's epistles. He said this to Timothy.
hold your hand there. Let me get back on Timothy. First Timothy. Yeah, First Timothy. Chapter 1. Now, this is the same thing he told Titus is the same thing he's telling Timothy. He says this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm sorry. Sounds just like Titus does. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Same problem. So what's happening in Crete? Guess what? Same thing in Ephesus. So you would take it, if he says, ordain in elders in every city as I appointed thee, guess what's in every city?
Wrong doctrine. Problems.
So, you ride over here, you're going to pass 50 churches. Guess what? You go in, and all he has to do is start talking. And you say, that church? Yeah, I checked them out. They have elderitis. Bad. Some of them have bad cases. And he says, for this cause, he says, he left him in Ephesus. Neither give heed, verse 4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying. There's that godliness again. Which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience. That's going to come up again in Titus. And of faith unfeigned or sincere, from which some having swerved, have turned aside unto vain genuine, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. He says they don't even know what they're talking about, and they don't even know why they agree with it. That can't be us. When you go out, when you have that conversation, you have to know in whom and why you believe what you believe. Not because somebody is telling you that, but you have an edge, number one, because you have believed the doctrine. And the person who's giving you the doctrine. That's, I wish you knew how big of a head start that is. Just knowing where to get the information, you're 80% there. Some people still, they search. They think it's Moses. Think it's Paul and Peter or Jesus. And you can't, that's what I'm talking about, the stepping blocks. You can't even get them to understand the principle of inspiration. They say when Paul is writing, it's not like he sat down and thought of this on his own. He just told you it was by the commandment of God. Right? He'll say, I didn't get it on my own. He didn't teach me this. And he says, and I'm giving it to you for the obedience to the faith among all nations. You think the elders and other assemblies read that? You think they've ever read that? Do you think they've ever read passages where Paul is magnifying his office? Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah, they have. They can't read the scripture without reading those verses. We hope they have. But you can't read over. I say you can't. It's a lot of them. It's a lot to miss. But, okay. Verse 7. He said, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, and for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be
any other thing
that is contrary to the church doctrine,
sound doctrine,
according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, and then that last phrase, which was committed to my trust. Who is my? And then they say, well, who are you? And then he tells you in the next verses, he says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. How did I get there? He went to school.
Nope.
Seminar. He said, God counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And we know his credentials, right? Okay, back to Titus. What did I say? That's the sound doctrine. That's the sound doctrine that was committed unto him. So when he tells you about the doctrine, then if you're not familiar with it, then you don't really know how sound it is,
right?
How healthy it is. And the same thing, the doctrine, he'll use a phrase, these things. When you go forward, he's going to say, these things, put them in remembrance. Put them in remembrance of these things. The sound doctrine, the doctrine that's according to godliness, that's after godliness. My gospel, he says. Okay, he says, so, he says, this is what I want you to do, is to set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee. When he says wanting, those things that are wanting are those things that are lacking. And when he sends men, and not just Titus and Timothy, he sends other men too. As a matter of fact, one more before we hit. Look at Colossians. It's Colossians 4, but I can see the verse, and that's not the one I wanted. That was the one I see is Colossians 4:12. No, we get to 4:12, and somebody read 4:12, and I'll look for the other.
Epaphras.
Yeah.
Who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salute you, always laboring fiercely for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God.
Perfect in what?
Complete.
Mature, right. That's what in the passage that I was warning was this. He says, I'm sending this minister to you that he might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. I think it was Epaphroditus. I just can't put my finger on the verse right now. So, if it comes to me, then we'll go back there. But when he says that which is lacking, it comes by the doctrine. When you get the blanks filled in, that's what's lacking is understanding of what God wants, what He's doing. And if you don't have, that's why when Paul sends Titus back there, to put in order, put in place, what's lacking is somebody who can tell them what God is doing today. So when we come here to a properly functioning local assembly, is the person standing up in front of you should be telling you what God is doing today. Not last week, or when I say last week, not in prior dispensations. Not what he thinks or what he hopes God will do, but what he is doing. So you can properly glorify God in your mind and in your spirit, which are here, in your spirit and your mind. Okay, before we keep going, for example, there was a lady yesterday who went to one of the churches that I teach at. She is handicapped on her left side. And she did something last week where she got a situation where she was trying to get into an elevator and she couldn't move. Her mobility is limited because of her condition. But somebody's telling her, you can do the things that a person with mobility and four limbs is doing. Just believe God for your healing. And she, over and over, she gets in these situations where God is letting her down. She thinks. She, what?
He didn't promise.
He did not say that. He, you know, so at what point, because of the information that you are receiving, at what point are you going to say, God is not working for me? Or do you say, what somebody told me that God would do is not working?
It
depends on how
many folks tell you. That, it depends on. Yeah, because if that's the case, then you think, okay, well, someone's be wrong with me because it's working wrong with other folks.
That's, you know, and this is a hard thing too, is you have to get people to understand this too. That God is not with the crowd. Just because there's a building that's running over, it doesn't mean that God is in it. See, that's what. Remember that passage where I can't remember exactly what happened, but the Lord was saying something to the scribes and Pharisees. And then when he got through, his disciples asked him a question. And it's like, well, what you mean by that? Something like that. And he asked him a question. He says, are you also without understanding? You know, they've been with him, getting an education, and then they asked the same doubtful question. And the Lord had to turn around and say, you don't know either?
You should know.
You should know. So we can't be one of the ones that, are you also without understanding? When you go to a person and you say, listen, let me tell you why this is not happening to you, if you would like to know. There was a time when God did those things. And it was an exception. It wasn't because his arm was short that you're not healed.
It's because that was for a time, was for a reason. That has been accomplished. And today, that's not the way it operates.
And the proof is in the pudding. You said, what you mean?
Say, look, how long have you been in that condition? Whatever, how many years? Okay. And you can say this, it may sound bold, but and I've had to say this to you're not gonna get here. That sounds rough, doesn't it? And you don't know anybody else who's been here. See, and when you look at Titus, you're gonna find out something about man's conscience. You know what they said when Jesus was healing and the crowd was against him and the 12 was with him and they had to go back and they said, you know, I've never seen it done like this before. He said, hey, who can't look? We might not like him. But you can't deny it. You know what? We never seen it like this. We've never seen it on this way, this wise, he said. So what I'm saying is this. People can, they can dispute the doctrine. But look, you just, where's the proof? If you're going to oppose me, where's the proof that he's healing? You have an excuse every week. It's always something that didn't. Well, he wasn't. He didn't believe. This God knows what he's doing. Of course he does. You just don't. Because the doctrine is not the same doctrine. Okay. Set in order the things that are wanting, and this knowledge that's wanting. It's knowledge that's lacking, it's doctrine that's lacking. And then he gives the qualifications. He says, if a man be blameless, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. Now, notice,
remember we said last week that the what was assembly was a like an object lesson for what God is doing. And I'm not get a whole lot back into this. But he has the man, right? Woman, and then the children. He talks about, he says, here's the elder right here. And he first thing he does is he outlines that man's family. He says, he's got to be this way, his wife's got to be this way, and his children's got to be this way.
He can't run your own house.
He's up, he's, because the man's a type, the man and the woman's a type, the man, woman, and the family's a type. Okay, give you another example. Like we did last week, the earthly. Who makes up the nation Israel? Who makes up Israel?
Jews.
No, believe. Okay, alright. Same thing. They come from who?
Abraham.
Jacob, right? Where did they come from?
Christ.
Those are sons, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Who? Abraham and who? Okay.
Isaac.
Who's that name? Abraham, that's... Where did he come from?
Abraham.
right, idolatry. What did he come out of the idolatry for? To do what? To go into. He was over, right. He said, "I'm gonna make your seed what a blessing to the whole earth. And I'm gonna give you a land. What's that land? You know what that land turns out to be? Jerusalem. So he pulls this man out of the nations." What's his purpose for the earth? He's coming. He's coming to repossess heaven and earth. Right? And he just uses this man. He said, "I'm going to use you. We're going to get that back. We're going to get the earth back." Who's he start with? With man. All right. Then he goes to what?
Man,
which is called what? Man and a woman is called
husband and wife.
Marriage.
Okay.
Right. I'm sorry, I said we won't do that no more. You have people guessing. Right. To the marriage. Then they have what?
Children.
And then they multiply what? And then they replenish. Replenish. Subdue it. Yeah. Subdue it. Sounds familiar? Where you hear that from? Where you hear that before?
Yeah.
Right back in the garden. You say, "Wait a minute. See, God said, I've been telling you this from the beginning. You ain't listening." He said, "But that's them." So now he starts with the body, with the heavenly purpose. So he said, "Okay, Titus, when you in Crete," he says, "first thing I need you to do is put a man in that position." He said, "Anybody know it?" Yeah, anybody.
He gotta have some
qualifications. Well, whose qualifications? Mine? My qualifications? My resume? He said, No. He said, first of all, he said he must be what?
Blameless.
He didn't say sinless, he said blameless. You can't have a label. You know, and I just think about this. Remember Charlie Brown, where the pigpen, was it pigpen? Where they knew he was coming. You know how they knew he was coming?
Clouds.
Yeah, they get the cloud and dirt over him. So you can't be an elder in the pig pen, right, where when you see him coming, you say, "Yeah, that's Elder so and so." You know he's lying, don't you?
Yeah.
Or that's Elder so and so, like you know he's a thief, don't you?
Yeah.
Or whatever. It's been commonly. Everybody knows his kryptonite. He said, "You know what? He can't do that. He can't be that way. He has to be blameless. Can't be able to lay the charge on him when you see him. Oh yeah, that's him. Yep." He says, "The husband of one wife," which is back to the type again, is the word really is. Not, he can't be divorced. He had to be a one woman man. Monogamous. One woman man. But
for obvious reasons. You know, the that goes all the way back. When the Lord uses terms like adultery and fornication, He's always trying to get the people to see what the relationship is. Like the Jews. He said, I was a husband. But you did what? You went after others. And the Lord says, He said, I wanted to be. When you think of that, you think of Ephesians right away. He says, I want to be a husband to you. He says, I want to be a provider, a protector, a nourisher, a cherisher, a cleanser, a sanctifier. He says, I want to be all those things. But it wasn't good enough. So as an elder, you know what? He says, I'm dedicated to your edification, to your building up, for you to be all that you're supposed to be. All that you're supposed to be. Not you, man.
Just to say, you can't have been divorced.
I said, that does not mean that he was divorced. Okay. Like they'll say, you can't be married because you can't be a pastor because you was divorced and you got another wife now. That's not what the verse is teaching. So Orpheus, I know they say a lot of things, but that's not what it's saying. This, you know what? This heavy duty, man. Because when you think about it, it really looks, it makes you, as an elder, and as just members of the body, look at yourself. And you realize, when he talks about being conformed to the image of his son, you really realize the gravity of it. He says, he must be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. And then he goes to verse 7, he's right on the man now. For a bishop must be blameless. As, I like this, he says, as the steward of God. He must be blameless as the steward of God. God is entrusting this man with a possession. And he must be blameless. Because now his fidelity is coming into question. His fidelity to the commission, to the charge. He gives him that charge. He says he must be blameless as the steward of God. Not self-willed. do what I want to do. You can't have your own agenda and be a steward, a faithful steward. So if I say I have to use human terms so you can stay on the same page as I want us to go down. If I say, Blake, okay, you watch the house while I'm gone. No problem. All lights out at 10. I ride by 11:30. Just checking. Lights on, doors open. So I what happened? You know what? Wasn't ready to turn in yet. So we kept the lights on. Wow. Okay. He's like, Lord, now he says, you are wicked. A wicked and unprofitable servant. But, right, you can't have you not self-willed, not soon angry. That is, he has to be practice long-suffering. can't be a man that's quick to retaliate. I can't say that I've really seen a lot of people that way, but there's a lot of people that have a short fuse. Let me rephrase that. Preachers, I say that with the quotation marks. A lot of elders that, when I said elderitis, there's a lot of elders that don't fit the qualifications. How many elders, and I'm using that term elders because that's what the scripture uses. We would say pastors, overseers, bishops, whatever they use today. But how many elders do you think, when you see this list, that you could, you say, well, that's him. That's him. He already, if you can point out the flaw, he's not blameless. So if you say, you know what, that's Pastor so-and-so, yeah, but he's what? You already put a label on him. You say, you know what, that's a good man of God.
Of course.
I have, but he says, when Paul said to Timothy, he says, let's see, Timothy, four, I think. Let me try that. First Timothy. Okay, let's go with that.
Chapter 3, First Timothy 3.
3?
3:1-3.
Yeah, okay. We'll do that. We did. We read that last week. We're going to read that again. But he says, this is a true saying, verse 1, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. That's big. Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Do you know what a novice is?
Yeah.
I remember a long time ago, I was watching something in, like, I don't know if it was Jimmy Swaggart or Pat, or one of the big preachers, they had on TV a 8-year-old boy who was saying that he was called to the ministry. He was called, the Lord called him to be a preacher. And they had him up there like, and you know what? And I can see all the symptoms of elderitis in that show. The greedy and filthy lucre, the blameless, some of them had labels, and they got the novice. It was just a whole bunch of sickness, doctrinal sickness up there in the name of the Lord. And I said, they didn't read none of this. None of it.
They did the same thing with Deion Sanders. When he came to the Lord, he was everywhere, preaching everywhere. And he just accepted Christ.
And see, when you know the symptoms, you just call it what it is. Now, people might say, he's healthy. It's thriving. And you say, oh, he's real sick. He's real sick. And they said, what are you talking about? Look at that. And you said, no. You don't see what I see. See, yeah, that's where what the doctrine will do, it give you ESP. It give you that extra spiritual perception where you can see the spiritual problem, not what they presented to you. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So he says, moreover, or not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he falls into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them that which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. That's closer to what I was looking at. He says, have a good report of them that are without. He says, lest he fall into reproach. That is, when they can put the discredit, when they can discredit your ministry. I say, Peter said this. He says, if you suffer as a Christian, that's good. So if they put a label on you, he said, just let it be because of the Christian power, not this other stuff.
Happy are you.
Yeah, right. So, okay. Titus, he says, not soon angry. Verse 7, not given to wine, no striker. That is a brawler, puncher, not given to filthy lucre. That's a big one, isn't it? See, you know what? A lot of times you can read right there and you say, well, you know what? How many can you put in that category? Lots. And you're like, wow. Then you contrast them with the way Paul was. When he showed up, they said, well, Paul, we would like you to come on over and help us. And he says, well, you have to send somebody. You have to send somebody to come pick me up. Hey, so I had to send somebody to come get me. You know what? Now think about this. When Paul said, in Acts 16, I believe, he says he saw the vision where the Macedonian man says, come on over to help us. And you know what Paul says? He said, we got our stuff together. He said, most assuredly, he said, gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the city to that gospel. To preach the gospel to that city. But he started to prepare for that. And then, you know, he says, I labored with my own hands to support not just me, but those that were with me. When I should have been supportive of you, even though he said, but I'm doing this that the gospel wouldn't be charged. That you couldn't say, you know what, he's just doing that for the money.
Don't
That's what they've done. But he said, look, he says, if you say that, he says, I don't even want it. Although I have a right to be supportive of you, he says, but I don't want anything to put a bad light on the gospel. So now we can use that. Now you know when a man is given to filthy lucre. He says, well, tell you what. I know I got a jet. It's getting old. I need a new jet. This one only costs $43 million.
You know you nailed it.
Well, am I giving an account? It's not a fictional account.
Right.
And so he said, well, $43 million. Everybody in my church can have a car. A brand new car. And you look, you're living in 2018 where I don't even have to be there.
they could click a button and they would see me.
Do I really have to spend that much money? Anyway. He says, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. But a lover of hospitality. That is, you know what is, he welcomes strangers. I'm maybe a little better now. When I was at this function yesterday, I've been doing this particular assembly. I've been among them for maybe 4 years now. And do you know there's some people who still say, how y'all doing? And he said, this is a church of God, right? This, but can't put people on your scale, on your performance. He didn't say, Lord, just help us line up with the doctrine. He says, a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men. Sober, sound, you know what? Sound thinking. In control, right. It's just, fair, holy, separated, sanctified, practical. It's practical life. I got to do it again. Now, this, look, the man, I'm sure the man, I'm sure he's saved. We there yesterday at the function. All the saints out there. Just pull it out of pocket, lights up a cigarette. Me personally, hey, I know it doesn't alter his salvation, but for the weaker brother, they're like, whoa.
I'm gonna put you on pedestal.
So now I gotta leave. You know why? Because if I don't go up to him and say, look, brother, I said, I'm good, but you might be a stumbling block to the people that's around. You may consider where you are, who you're among. Or, you know what, go around the building, go, you know what, if you feel like you got to do it. So, it's like, you know what? It's good to see y'all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, already? Yeah. It's like. So, yeah. I mean,
so
but.
Why did you do that?
Because, I could have stayed there, but.
They don't put him in the same category.
But they'll say.
You can know.
Brother Frank, right. And they say, well, Brother Frank. He didn't say anything.
No.
And I'm not his regulator.
So that means you're okay with it.
And I'm not his governor. So the best way to sometimes to show that you're not with the thing is to not be with the thing. So, but, you know, I say that a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, you know, that's temperate. Sound thinking, sound mind, keeping yourself in subjection. And then the last thing he says, holding fast the faithful word. Wonder what that is. As he has been taught, and he's going to tell you that what it is, that he may be able. What's going to make you able?
Sound doctrine.
Holding fast the faithful word. As he has been taught, that he may be able by a sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers.
He says, exhort and convince the gainsayers. He said, you do that by the faithful word, which it is what?
Doctrine.
It's a whole lot of synonyms that Paul uses for that. He said, to exhort and convince. That is, you can edify and encourage a man, and you can also reprove and rebuke him.
But don't do it with your opinions.
Do it with what?
Sound doctrine.
Sound doctrine. The faithful word. As you have been
taught.
Now, if you don't know it, learn it. That's why he said you got to be apt to teach, because he can teach it to the elder that's there. He says that you may be able both to exhort and to convince those who speak against you. And this, they will speak against you. As Paul said, contradicting and blaspheming. See, when a man fights the sound doctrine, Paul said this, he's opposing himself. When the Lord stopped Paul, he says, Paul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He said, you're fighting yourself. But when the man is opposing the sound doctrine, look, who was Paul fighting against?
Anybody that's outside of sound doctrine.
The church. God,
the traditions and
right.
In Acts chapter 9. This is our last point here. So when Paul was fighting against, he said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he says, he was breathing threatenings and slaughters against
Christians.
He said, I think he said he was breathing threatenings and slaughters against
Lord.
And that's what he says. It's hard for thee to, when he said it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks, he says, who art thou, Lord? He says, I'm the saints.
I'm Jesus.
Whom you what?
Persecuted.
He said, I'm who?
Jesus.
I'm Jesus. But he never fought Jesus, had he?
Yeah. He was fighting the whole time.
He was fighting the whole time because he was fighting what?
The church.
He was fighting the church and the doctrine, because that's what the Lord gave him. So when they fight you, they're fighting against the doctrine. And Titus just told you, Paul just told you that the doctrine is after
godliness.
Right. I thought I was serving God. I thought I was worshiping God. Didn't he say that? He said, but when I got out of the religion and I found out what God was really doing, he said, I count all that other stuff loss that I might know him. So when they fight the doctrine, and you can just look, he said, look, you're doing the exact opposite of what God wants. You take the information that he's given to produce godliness in you and rejecting it. So you can only oppose yourself. When you contradict and blaspheme that, you can never be what he wants you to be. You can't go to enough seminars to make up for the doctrine, to replace it. You can't study enough in the wrong thing. That's why he said in 2 Timothy that they're ever learning. And never come to the knowledge of the truth. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. What was the power thereof? You can't win. That's why when Paul puts the elders there, when he puts the, he's trying to get the local assembly the way God wants it to be. So we'll, I pick up there, verse 9, and see how far we get the next time. Father, we thank you for the time we spend in your word. We thank you for recording these things. Strengthen us as we continue to study and to read. Lord, help us again, not for knowledge's sake, but that we might have a sincere desire to do those things that you find worthy and well-pleasing, to conform to your word, that we might prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We just thank you again for this time. We thank you for the members here and the families represented. Lord, strengthen us according to our needs. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen.